there are some forms of fear to listen to. If it's like, don't walk down that dark alley, that's probably a great instinct to follow as an animal. Like, listen to lizard brain there. But if the fear is like, you're not enough, or it's too far flung or whatever, that's an unhelpful version of fear. So circling back, what scares you in a good way? What inspires fear such that you go, oh, that might just be big enough and juicy enough and like cool enough that I learn a little more?
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Okay, I have a little story that I want to start our episode out with today. I'm going to share that in a minute. I'm here with our guest of honor, Rachel Rudwall, aka Rachel Romes. You may have seen her across any number of platforms because she is a TV host and producer and writer and photographer and speaker and all around explorer of our world with a quite incredible, like in the real sense of the word, almost unbelievable list of accomplishments and adventures. So I can't wait to learn more about Rachel, your story and your adventures today. So I'm so happy to finally be doing this with you. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to the show.
We're so grateful to Oboz Footwear and Osprey Packs for partnering with us and supporting the podcast. So please stay tuned for more about them later on.
Thanks. I'm stoked.
So this little, I have to say, I feel like your presence apparently transcends the online world because I honestly can't even recall what it was originally, the impetus of our connection somewhere online. No idea when or what that was, but what I do know is that when we finally cross paths in person, you've heard me tell this story before. We've only seen each other twice in person, but you've heard this story already, and I'm going to tell it again because I find it so funny and so cool. We ended up at the same conference last year in Vegas, and we were just at the same conference again a couple weeks ago, which was great. See you again. But I remember seeing you on the sidewalk and like walking up to you and being like, Rachel, like, it's so great to see you again. And like, just like gave you a hug and whatever. And it was a couple of hours later, I think, that I was thinking about this. I was like, wait a second. Like, we've never met in person.
It was one of those moments where I was like, I don't think we've met, but I don't feel totally clear about that. And also, you don't want your first meeting to be a moment in which you make someone feel awkward. Sure. So being like, ma'am, we've never met would have been kind of rude.
you let me take care of that one. You're like, wait, what? No, but I feel like that therein lies the rest is history in our friendship, our connection, because I think I just feel like we have so much in common. Like, we're just kind of soul sisters, and even our birthdays are like a day apart. And
yeah, so right? I'm November 28th
and I'm the 30th. Yeah.
Right. So we have almost the same birthday. We met at this conference, as you mentioned, we went out to dinner. We got like tacos and delicious food at this hole in the wall to us Mexican spot, as in off the strip, locals only. And out of nowhere, we're both speaking Spanish as we're ordering. And then we're both realizing that we've studied multiple languages and we love these multiple languages. And lo and behold, we're birthday twins. And it really does. It's one of those moments where you go like, did we just become best friends? Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Then you're doing karate in the garage.
I love it.
Yeah.
So much room for activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like this is just, like I told you before, I'm not even sure where we're going to go with today's episode. I just know that we need to have this conversation, and we should probably have it with some people listening, because, you know, I can just tell it's going to be one of those flowy and inspirational kind of power women stories. And I'm so here for that. So I appreciate you being here for that as well.
I am here for it.
Yeah. So, okay. You have, I'm not even really sure where to start. So I'm going to let you maybe, why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself in whatever way you see fit. You can do the TV script way, or you can do the Rachel off the clock way, whatever feels good to you, because you have so many stories that I want to get into, but like, let's start with this foundation of Rachel. Who are you?
I am at heart a person who loves our planet very much. And that translates into the work that I do. I grew up in the Midwest. When I learned there was a world, I thought, that sounds interesting. I'd like to go there. And this happens to many people who grew up in places that aren't, you know, like a New York City. You go, what? There's more out there? Hello out there. And you sort of venture forth. And so for me, what that meant was I went to college to study international relations and foreign languages, thinking, as a kid from Ohio, how do I get to see the world? Maybe if I study about it and I learn some of the languages, I could work for a not-for-profit or become a foreign service officer or whatever. And fast forward, I learned that storytelling was a way, a pathway for me to explore the world, feel connected, have new experiences, and connect other people to the world too. So if I do the, like, what is my job description version of myself? I'm a storyteller. And I can work in different forms of storytelling in order to connect people to our amazing world and to each other in ways that make them more excited about our planet and more excited to walk out the front door and have a new experience or talk to that person they've never talked to before. Because we're all better when we're connected, right? We feel more inspired. Mm-hmm. We feel more purposeful. We feel grounded in being. And like, plus, this is definitely the coolest planet we've found so far. So learning about it is pretty exciting.
Okay. So at what point then were you able to kind of get out of the Midwest? Like, what did that look like for you? How did you do it?
Well, when I was going to college, I was still in the Midwest. I did a couple of study abroad programs because I was like, if I'm paying for my own college and taking out these loans, I might as well have an adventure. So I studied in Spain. I studied in Scotland. Each of those translated to a Spanish degree and getting credits for one of my degrees. International business and economics courses going toward my international studies degree. That was in Scotland. And I landed this internship while I was in Scotland, finishing up my semester there, which was the spring of my junior year. And this internship was with a travel company called STA Travel, which at the time was the world's largest youth and student travel provider. And they supported a couple million students a year taking adventures. And so I landed this internship, which sent me around the world to 16 different countries over the course of a summer. I was producing multimedia assets with the goal of inspiring others to travel. So I was making videos and I was writing blogs and I was shooting photography. And this had not been my course of study. However, I'd done a couple study abroads. I submitted this video submission to apply for the role called the Ultimate World Traveler Internship with STA Travel. Whoa. Apparently, there were over 1,000 people who applied. Which I'm glad I didn't know at the time because I would not have applied. I would have self-selected out going, oh, I don't have the skills. Let this be a reminder that you should not self-select out. Just try the thing. And I'm convinced that I got the job over people who were studying communications and journalism who had like a bunch of experience with video production. I'm convinced that I got the job at least in part because I had already traveled solo. I had done these study abroads. I had had adventures and survived. And they were like, less of a liability. I'm convinced of this. And that internship directly translated into my sudden realization that, like, growing up watching Samantha Brown on Travel Channel or Globe Trekker on PBS was not as far flung of a dream as it seemed. I was like, what if I could do that thing that I always thought was the dream job that I just assumed was out of reach? And what if I could become a storyteller? So after that internship, I went back. I finished my senior year of college, but I used that whole year to reach out to people who worked in media production. So they were producers, editors, on-camera hosts, the whole range of professions. They were in a bunch of different places because I was like, maybe I moved to New York, maybe LA, maybe DC, maybe London. And there were a number of people who were kind enough to respond to my requests for informational interviews. Mm-hmm. And those mm-hmm. people distilled their knowledge in the course of 15 or 30 minute conversations or an hour long coffee. And that really helped me to home in on, okay, here's where I want to live. Here's what I think the sort of best representation of my hopes is. And here are some people that I happen to already know in the industry, thanks to these informational meetings. And it meant I moved to LA. I decided I wanted to be a producer and a host of travel content, docuseries content for TV networks. And some of those same people that I chatted with on the phone became eventual bosses, became allies, became mentors.
Wow. There's so much to unpack in just that small amount that you just said. I have to say, though, to start out, I've heard this strategy, I guess, before of, I mean, I think we all have, of like reaching out to those who have gone before you. Ask for information. Ask just, you know, get mentorship. And I love that you took the initiative to do that. How did you even find the people to talk to? Like, how did you do that?
So a couple things I will note to answer your question. First, I still owe a debt of gratitude to the person at the like career services office at my college for introducing this idea of an informational interview, because I think that I probably assumed that if you're looking for a job, you look for a job, which is a natural way of thinking. However, conversation can lead to jobs. So asking a question that is more like, could we connect? I would appreciate the opportunity to learn from you. That's very different than, are you hiring? Are you hiring? Sure. The answer is yes or no. And then that sort of is the end of that. Whereas if you ask, could we learn together? Would you be open to sharing 15 minutes of your time? That opens a door that wouldn't otherwise exist if you hadn't asked that question. And the worst that could happen, it's really easy to overthink too. Like, well, what if I don't hear back? Or it's my hero. Like, am I not going to be a weirdo by reaching out to them? The worst that could happen is they don't reply. Mm-hmm. Okay. No skin off your back. No skin off their back either.
Right.
So I already forgot what the other question was.
No, it's okay. Let's just keep going.
Where did I reach out to people?
Sure.
Okay. How did I find people? The internet. The internet is our friend. You can find all kinds of wonderful people with wonderful skills on the internet.
That's very true. I love that you took the resources that you had available. I think this is something I love to repeat to people just as long as they will listen, is to be resourceful. You know, like, we are so much more resourceful than I think any of us really give ourselves credit for. At least the majority of people, they don't realize the amount of resources that are out there. You've mentioned the career advisor person at your university. Those people are there to help you. I mean, while you're in college, even now, like getting business coaches, talking to people, joining a mastermind, like there's so many different things we could do to get ourselves closer to where we want to be. And I think what you did was recognize, I mean, I'm still like unpacking everything that you just said, but what you did was recognize that you had an interest in something that you got to experience kind of almost on a whim. Like, it just was meant to be that it was you who was selected to be this, I mean, in this position with the experience that you had. And you didn't say no for other people by saying self-selecting, you know, like we can easily say like, oh, they're probably going to say no. They're probably going to say no. Sure. But who are we to get to put those words in their mouths? Like, why don't we step up and try it anyway? If we have an interest in this, if we feel a calling to this, if it's meant to be, it's going to work out.
Yeah. And no one else can do the work but us, right? Mm. So if we aren't willing to put in the work, to get curious, to maybe put ourselves out there, then it can't happen in the way that only we can make it happen. No one's going to just give me the job because I think that I'd be good at it. I have to learn my way into it. No one's going to, as a person from Ohio, I didn't grow up like the niece of Steven Spielberg, so no one's going to do this for me.
Right.
And that's true for most of us in most contexts. You want to get good at ice hockey, Jackie? You know what you do? You practice ice hockey. I happen to know that that's something that you do. And so whatever it is that you're curious about, don't only lean into the curiosity and ask the questions, but start doing, and you'll be amazed at what you find. And part of what you'll find is you might not be great at first, and that's uncomfortable. I'm not very good at sitting in that discomfort. I want to be good at things. And there's certain things I'll never be good at. Baseball, basketball. I'm aware that I'm not going to be good at everything that I try. But if I practice, if I'm willing to get a little uncomfortable, if I'm willing to do the work, if I'm willing to reach out to the world and have the world reach back out to me, then I can learn a lot along the way and hopefully get good at the things that I really care about.
Yes, I love this. So this ended up, you must have taken these resources, this idea, you went to LA and you started this career in all these media things that you originally didn't see for yourself, which is really cool.
That's the idea of putting on my resume. All these media things.
All these media things.
That feels like it's more succinct than other ways of saying. So that's
storytelling going on the, and media things.
All these media things. It is I, a professional in all these media things.
Right. But one of the things that you also said that I kind of want to go back to was that, you know, you mentioned Samantha Brown, you mentioned like watching these big names, big shows and telling yourself, you know what, I could do that. And going back to the idea of if it's your dream, even if it's new, even if it's becoming, even if it's just kind of unfolding before your eyes, because you're doing the actions that are creating it, like kind of as you speak. And it's like, wow, this could be a new thing for me, but only you're going to get yourself there, which is what you've done. And I love that you have said to yourself, I could do that. It's a job. Somebody's got to do it. You know, somebody has to be that TV host. Somebody's got to be behind the camera. Somebody's got to be speaking on that stage. Why not me? So how was it that it has become such a career for you? Like, how did you get rolling in it, and where has it taken you? I know that's a big question, but you've done so many fun things. Let's start to hear about them.
It's interesting to hear you reflect back with some of those questions, because there was like a voice in my head when I was watching these shows growing up that just assumed everybody and their mom wants to be a host of a travel show. So I naturally self-selected because I hadn't seen it done before by anybody I knew. So it seemed really far-fetched to think that that would be a possible path for me. But also because I just thought everybody wanted that job. Believe it or not, not everybody wants that job. There's a reason a lot of people like to watch the show, but they don't actually go do the thing. They don't want to zip line. They don't want to hang off of a building. They don't want to eat a food that is unfamiliar to them, whatever. That didn't occur to me. I thought everybody wanted to do these things. So that sort of naturally filters out some of the, 8 billion people I've assumed, the whole global population I assumed that wanted to have the same job. I was like, oh, it's a little bit more achievable if there are fewer of us that want to do it. And then maybe it's a matter of training and learning and seeing if it's possible to become that thing. And still it's highly competitive, but it's possible. It's within the realm of possibility. Right. So what I did was I moved to Los Angeles and I began to learn to be a storyteller from people who are already really, really good storytellers. Learn Again. From people, like mm-hmm. you said, tap into what already exists. No one can do the work for you. There are all of these incredible storytellers out there who were producing and filming these docuseries that were really changing the way that we consumed entertainment, the way that we thought about TV. So I ended up, one of the people that I reached out to for an informational interview was a man who was at the helm. He was in a leadership role at a production company called Original Productions. And Original Productions was the production company that produced Deadliest Catch, Ice Road Truckers, Axemen, all this manly man programming in the sort of far uncomfortable reaches of the United States or of the globe. And I was like, I want to learn from them, because they were sending people out on these big adventures to document these remote subcultures and places that seemed really beautiful and far away from my lived experience. And also they were getting people at this production company through these series. They were getting people to care about things that audiences might not have thought they were interested in before. Crab fishing, logging, driving 18 wheelers. They were making it engaging and interesting, and they had like cracked the code. And so for me, I was like, that would be an incredible entry point. And this guy that I had reached out to for the informational meeting, we literally spent like 10 or 15 minutes on a call because he was a very busy person. I had already moved to LA by then, not knowing what I was going to do. It was the end of a calendar year, so it was a terrible time to move anywhere and look for new work because no one's hiring at Christmas. And he was like, okay, so what I'm hearing is you want to work for my company. And I was like, yes, I do, sir. And he was like, okay, I'll pass your information to a couple of my showrunners, so the executive producers, a couple of showrunners who are going to be staffing up in the new year. And I was like, thank you so much for your time. You know, and I heard from one of these showrunners, and she needed someone who could be a coordinator at a very entry-level position on a show that she was producing for Discovery Channel. And she brought me into the role. She later told me that during the interview, she thought I was very buttoned up, like too proper to work for these shows, which I was like, well, look at me putting my best foot forward.
Right.
Little did she know. And so I supported post-production, meaning the show had been shot or was in process of being shot. I supported the part of the process where you're receiving the footage, editors are cutting it together, all of that. And it was like office-based work. Then the person that I had spoken on the phone with, who put me in touch with the showrunners, he needed someone to work with him as kind of his right hand in both an executive assistant capacity, but also a coordinator capacity for the company. And I got asked if I wanted the role. Now, interestingly, I was like, I don't want to be in an office. I want to be working in the field and having an adventure. And I want to be learning how to shoot and produce and like going up to the Arctic. And so I spoke to people within the company and other people that I had already chatted to for those informational interviews. I reached out to them, like six of them.
Wow.
And was like, do you have a few minutes? Could I run an opportunity by you to see what you think? Half of them said, take the job. You will get access. You will learn from people who are already great at this. You will build relationships. Half of them said, if you want to do field work, then don't accept the in-office job. Mm-hmm. And I turned it down.
Ooh,
I turned down the job. I was like, I'm looking for field work. And this executive producer working on another show, he and I were talking in the parking lot at the production company one day. And he's like, what? You turned it down? You're crazy. He might have said I was an idiot. I don't know. Maybe there was profanity. He made it very clear. This was a mistake. And I'm like, why? I want to be in the field having an adventure. That's how I picture it. And he was like, you have a chance to learn from one of the best storytellers in this company, in this era, to work as his right hand, to work on all of the different shows that this company has in the pipeline for this year. You're going to learn development. You're going to sit in on pitch meetings. You're going to be like meeting executives from networks. He's like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the biggest opportunity. And I went back in to this person who'd offered me the job. And I think I was like overconfident as well at this age, recent college grad, because I was like, I remember it as I'm reconsidering the position if it's still open. Here are some things that I'd like to request. Something just good stupid. Like, I'd love for there to be an opportunity for me to go in the field at some point. I think that I sort of expressed what my hopes were if he were willing to consider it. And bless him, he did not say, you're overconfident and dumb. He was like, I mean, you know, we'll see what we can make happen. So my groveling resulted in my working for him, him being an incredible boss, my getting all the access to learnings that people had suggested I would if I took the job. I had a hand in some portion of the production on 16 different shows that year alone. I did go out to Dutch Harbor in Alaska to help set up for a new season of Deadliest Catch. So this person that I worked for ended up not only becoming an incredible teacher, but helping facilitate my first experiences in the field, which I was looking for. And long term, when I was no longer working at that company, which I produced for in the field for multiple years, he became my mentor. Mm. So he was someone that I could call regularly, that I could still call if I had a question or just wanted to catch up. And he became such a trusted ally. He was at my wedding. Like, he's a friend that I'm fortunate to know because he said yes to the informational meeting. He said yes to considering what might have been overconfident requests for exposure to learning opportunities. And he has really been an incredible friend along the way because he saw how hungry I was for it. And I work really hard. I mean, frankly, Midwestern work ethic is a thing. Like, I show up and I do the work. And there's a lot that I had to learn. And I'm still learning because we're mm-hmm. always learning.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. I wanted to learn and I was willing to. And mm-hmm. I think that that was a part of why I was able to be successful in that role. Then they gave me opportunities to go in the field. My first assignment as a producer and camera operator in the field was Ice Road Truckers. That was in Alaska. Then I was hired for Axemen, which was also Alaska. That led to me getting hired by National Geographic to work in the field on a show. And that, working for Nat Geo is like bucket list. And I was 23. Mm-hmm. And that was on my resume already because I had done the hard work of working in Alaska and again, not dying. I mentioned that about like the college internship. If you go do the thing and don't die in certain contexts, that's a plus. You get hired again or you're like a primo candidate for a role. So that's a very sort of long backstory of the beginnings because I think it's important to acknowledge the many pathways that are available, the things to be open to learning from, to not shut the door on if they don't look exactly like what you're picturing. Because I could have gone in the field instead and not worked for this person. But then there's a lot that I wouldn't have had the chance to learn. There are relationships that wouldn't exist that have become important to me. And from there, fast forwarding, I ended up producing and shooting various shows in the field for numerous TV networks, Discovery Channel, History, Nat Geo, Weather Channel, a survival series for Weather Channel called Fat Guys in the Woods. You heard it here first. Nice. Like a race car, and a show that was about aspiring race car driving professionals. So like people who wanted to drive race cars professionally. And just last year, a film came out with Orlando Bloom in it called Gran Turismo. And I was like, whoa, that's based on the TV show I produced. That's crazy. Oh, that's so cool. all this crazy stuff. And then on the side, I was going to weekly on-camera hosting classes.
Okay.
So my side hustle began at that juncture where I was learning the on-camera hosting skills. I was investing in it, time, money that was fairly scarce at that period in my life, learning to do everything from like on the fly, hosting a travel segment to hosting red carpet to reading a teleprompter. And then alongside a person that I met in that class, she and I began producing, shooting, hosting, and editing our own weekly YouTube travel series. So we put out a video every single week, had a large following that grew and grew. And that work over those couple of years of, again, investing in the path, no one was paying us to do it. It took a ton of time and energy and commitment in addition to the work I was doing that was paid for production companies. That led to getting my first hosting job for a network because the network had greenlit a series, meaning they had purchased the concept of the series and they were looking for hosts. And they were like, well, these two women already have a YouTube series and people already follow them and they like them and they have this built-in chemistry. So we got hired because we did all of that work, those many, I don't even know how many hundreds out, thousands of hours to like build out the dynamic, the proof of concept, basically, and the skills that we needed to do it at a higher level.
We'll come right back to that. Let's take a moment now to thank our wonderful show sponsors. Born of Bozeman, Montana, and inspired by the greater Yellowstone ecosystem that surrounds it, Oboz Footwear creates purpose-built hiking footwear designed to strengthen the human-nature connection. In an ever-changing world, hiking clears the mind, taking us to new places, challenging our limits, and connecting us with others. Join Oboz and me in rediscovering every day why we love hiking, how it shows us the way forward and elevates how we live. Find out more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking, and we'll see you on the trail. Osprey is the market leader in technical outdoor, travel, and everyday packs. And I've personally used Osprey packs since 2015. My favorites are the Fairview Trek 50 for multi-day hikes, the Cirrus 24 for day hikes, the Transporter Rolling Duffel 60, which is my trusty check luggage for faraway adventures, and of course, the countless packing cubes I use to organize everything that goes in them. We are proud to support each other on the podcast and beyond. We love getting outside and we want to see more people outdoors. So find out more and join us at osprey.com.
So interesting. You're like creating a formula. I'm just taking notes that you're, I mean, because I feel like it's like a formula for just pursuing your purpose and your calling. And you're just paying attention to what's happening along the way and using your resources, talking to people in front of you, keeping your mentorship, investing in classes, like doing, you're going after it. You had a side hustle on the side of all of this stuff.
But anybody can do all these things. That's the coolest part, mm-hmm. right? Is like, whether your dream looks the same or different, it might be a lot of work. It might require a lot of you to invest your time and your energy and your hope and your money. And also, you can do it because those classes, those conversations, those informational meetings, those methods of learning, they're available to you. I mean, you can like literally go online now and do a masterclass in virtually anything. And you can learn a bunch of really incredible insights distilled into a really bite-sized, easy to enjoy package that's been prepared just for you. If you're curious about it, it's available. You have to know where to look. And what's tricky is when people say, how do I become an on-camera host? Or I want to do what you do. Or I want to be the female version of Anthony Bourdain. Or I want to be the like male version of Samantha Brown or whatever. It's tricky because it's like, well, only you can be the you version. Like Bourdain is taken. Samantha Brown is taken. They are two great examples of people who showed up as exactly who they are. And that's why they're successful or have been successful. So only you can be the you version of anything. And no one's going to crack the code for you because the code is do the work. Learn as much as you can and practice so that you become better. Just a little better every day goes a long way when you do it for a lot of days in a row.
I love this. Preach. Because going back to how you started this story and kind of recognizing the unique... The fact that you assumed that everybody wanted this job that you're doing because that's what spoke to you and you quickly realized that that's not actually true. The only way to do this, like what you were just saying, is to show up as yourself because what calls to you is different from the, it's not going to be the same. Like people listening to us right now, they don't have the same dream as you. It varies because we vary, you know, we are mm-hmm. unique. And so If you can figure out how to pay attention to the things that feel like you, that look like you, that call to you, that's where your path is going to lead you. This is the magic stuff in here.
It is the magic stuff. And I've gotten goosebumps a couple of times in this conversation because even though this is my story that I've lived and I'm like deeply familiar with it, right? We know mm-hmm. our stories.
Sure.
When I think of the way that things align for each one of us, there are things that I believe are meant for us if we're ready for them and we're open to them. Now, other people can show up and be the right fit at the right time. If we're not ready, if we haven't done the work, if we don't accept with a big, beautiful yes, what is before us, then other people can step into that space. And that's possible, plausible, fine, whatever. But I think that when we throw ourselves into the mix as a potential candidate, for not just jobs, but moments of connection in our worlds, then everything opens up to us. It might look different than we anticipated. But at the end of the day, I do think what's meant for us will find us. And sometimes it's really disheartening when things that we think are the dream don't work out for us. I mean, the amount of no's I have heard, both because I'm not a fit for hosting a show, or there's another candidate that's selected for whatever, or the timing is off, or I'm a woman in a male-dominated field. And so certain things, like I would not get cast for things because it was like, oh, that's, it should go to a man. Because men, adventure, you know?
Because men.
So the amount of times that I heard no, I could not, I would not dare count. It is, I don't know, 1,000 times more yeses than I probably heard. But all it takes is one yes. Mm-hmm. Like one itty bitty yiddle yes can start something huge, because it gives you the experience and the access. It gives you the confidence and the momentum. So what is meant for you will find you. And sometimes things are a no because the timing's off. You're not quite there yet. But then sometimes there's a yes that is bigger than you ever imagined. And mine started with a bigger yes than I could have imagined with that internship. And that is where I feel clear that that was in fact meant to be my path, because then it just, I went away from like foreign service officer NGO into like, I can be a storyteller. And that's an everyday form of diplomacy. It's a better fit for me and who I am in this lifetime. And it's also a really evolving, interesting, fascinating to me way to connect people to planet and each other. And if I had gone and become a diplomat, I would have had to wear like a suit every day, which is not a fit for me. But also, it would have been so siloed. I wouldn't get to interact with people in the same way. I wouldn't get to try the food, sit in their living room, have the conversations that I have the chance to have in the roles that I now inhabit and pursue and really work hard to hopefully do justice to.
I resonate with so much of this, because we actually have, I mean, surprise, surprise, our stories are quite similar, you know, I mean, because at the beginning, when we were both going into university, these jobs didn't exist. They didn't. And so it's not like we could look at the world and say, oh, I want to be a travel podcaster. I want to talk to people about travel and, you know, see the world and have these conversations in people's living rooms. We couldn't do that. What we knew was international relations, that's what they call it, and possibly translation, something within language, which is one of, I mean, I considered both of these routes as well, both of which land you in an office in the end.
Yeah.
None of which sound great to me. And so, but by putting ourselves out there, you know, and pursuing the unique path that looked like us, we've actually landed ourselves in these positions that fit us so much better. You know, and I mean, you're wearing wetsuits before you're putting on, you know, like business suits. Yeah. And that's the kind of adventure that we want to sign up for in this world. So I appreciate that the path, you know, that we pursued the path to discover it. I mean, we kind of create it as we go. And you're
that's the thing.
Really,
we had to build the container. We built the containers that we inhabit. And so many people can do that now. There's so much more flexibility to what work looks like. Mm-hmm. Work can be so many different variations on a theme now. I mean, so much more than has ever existed before. So sometimes there is a container that you see, a specific type of job or role, and you're able to aspire to that specific thing, and you can drive and push toward that and work toward it. And to an extent that existed for me. I knew that I wanted to be an on-camera host and a producer, even if I didn't quite know what that meant yet. I had to live my way into learning it. But like, I didn't know what the path ahead looked like. It's different than if you want to become an anesthesiologist, you know that you go to medical school for X number of years and there's a particular way of doing. Mm-hmm. You've been doing this since before people knew what to call it. You built the container. So sometimes you build as you go and you just follow, like you said, what calls to you, what is speaking to you, what are you curious about, what are you hungry for that, you know, is in the back of your mind and you just can't quiet. So you have to chase it. And I like to ask people what scares you in a good way. I think that's related here, because if I were to ask myself, what's the one thing I really wanted to do before I knew it was a possibility, it'd be like, I want to host a show like Globe Trekker or on the Travel Channel. And I might have talked myself out of it because I thought it wasn't possible for a million reasons. And I did talk myself out of it to the extent that I just thought it was not available to me. So then when I really started to think about it, I was like, oh God, this is so meaningful to me and so huge to me and such the perfect dream for me that it's really scary. And I had to see what that was about. It's easy to sort of do a 180 and walk the other way and be like, hell nah, I'm not chasing that fear. There are some forms of fear to listen to. If it's like, don't walk down that dark alley, that's probably a great instinct to follow as an animal. Like, listen to lizard brain there. But if the fear is like, you're not enough or it's too far flung or whatever, that's an unhelpful version of fear. So circling back, what scares you in a good way? What inspires fear such that you go, oh, that might just be big enough and juicy enough and like cool enough that I learn a little more?
Yes. And that's when you know. That's when you know there's something there for you. Just even just an inkling. I just got to go explore this a little bit. There's something there and I need to find out what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just take this little path and see what we can discover over here, and who knows where it's going to lead. And what we do know, it's never going to lead you back to where you were. It's only going to lead you forward.
Right. And sometimes people experience detours as being derailed, but I have found that at least in my particular path, that every detour that I've taken has taught me something really essential to my professional knowledge base, to my, experience of self, to my connection with the world. So while things sometimes don't turn out how we expect them, I think they turn out in the way that they are designed to for whatever reasons. And we learn from that as we go, right? We adapt. Mm-hmm. It makes us more skilled in every facet of our lives to be able to adapt. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves on the other side and go, huh. That was an adventure.
What's next?
Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah. I love this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we don't have a ton of time left, but I want to ask you some kind of maybe some like high level questions to kind of just wrap up the ideas and the context of this conversation. I'm really curious if you have a best piece of advice that you've been given, because you've sought a lot of mentorship. Do you have any like cornerstone pieces of advice that have stayed with you?
There are a lot of things that come to mind, but I think if I were to distill something that we've already talked about, it wasn't shared with me in these exact terms, but I would say, ask the question. Because in the context of the informational interview, for example, if you don't ask to connect, if you don't say, hi, I would appreciate the opportunity to learn from you, then the answer is no. If you don't ask yourself, what if I pursued that thing that I'm really curious about or passionate about, then the answer is no. If you don't ask the question, the answer is always no. And this applies no matter the phase of life. No matter what it is that you're confronting or pursuing. I was on a call with a group of people called the Explorers Club. I'm a fellow in this club of really inspiring people that I learned from. I just had a call right beforehand where I was listening to this woman who's currently in Greenland working for NASA to study under the sea ice to learn how our planet is changing. And she's using these remotely operated vehicles and she's preparing to deploy this science on Jupiter. Do you think she has asked some questions in her day? Indeed, yeah. She has. She's asking questions every day. She's made a career of it. Anyway, I was on this call with Explorers Club members yesterday, and someone kept kind of in a totally different context and conversation coming up with workarounds and reasons why not for something that seemed like, well, gosh, if we think of it that way, then it's definitely a no. We should just ask the question so that we know whether it's a no. Mm-hmm. And I'm still using that in daily conversation. And I have a 3.5-year-old You better believe he asked the question. Sometimes he just changes his tone. He says, yesterday he said, "Hey, mommy, can we play baseball in the backyard?" And I was like, "Well, it's dinner time, and we just got home from the park." And then about 10 seconds later, he said, "Hey, Daddy, I have an idea." My husband said, "What's that?" And he said, "I think we should play baseball in the backyard." And he changed his tone, and he changed his audience, and he asked the question again. So, wow. So whatever your phase of life, ask the question.
Yeah, because what if it does work? This is...
Oof. What if it does work? Oof. Mm. Yeah.
What if it does? Yeah. Okay, that was really good. I love this. Let's keep going. Of all these roles, of all the things that you have accomplished, you have a long list of, I mean, you've been Emmy nominated. Like, you have a long list of things, big things. Is there something you're the most proud of?
I continue to be proud of achieving the thing I set out to achieve when it was hard. And the thing I set out to achieve was to become an on-camera host and a producer. But I think I now reflect back and see with clarity that it was to become a storyteller, to become a point of connection for people and planet and people and one another. I am proud of that every day. The container changes. Sometimes producer, sometimes host, mm-hmm. sometimes writer, photographer. It doesn't really matter what it is because I'm humbled and proud to be able to serve as a conduit in that way.
This is because correct me if I'm wrong, but I just said that you've been Emmy nominated. Like, you have these big things, but you're coming back to your very original desire. And it's because that's who you are. I just got chills. That's who you are. It's your why. It's what it actually segues into my next question. But before I get to that, it's what makes you you. So the goal wasn't to get to set out and become and win this award or become part of that club. It wasn't. It was, who am I and where do I want to be? I want to be on camera. And then the rest of this just kind of falls into place. The rest of it is, I mean, these massive accolades that come along with your story, but it's because you're being true to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sometimes I have thought, and so sometimes by extension, all of us think it has to look a certain way, whatever that achievement is or that goal that we have. And upon reflection, the why is the accomplishment if we stay aligned. Yeah. And so my North Star is to connect with our world, connect people to our world. And that feeds me. And so it can change shape and form. And I'm proud of anything that I do that is in alignment with that.
Yes. I love that. And then that was kind of segueing into you. You kind of answered this, but if there's a different way that you want to word it specifically, like, what is it that you want to share with the world? What is it that you want the world to take away from your story?
It's good you're here. It's good you're here. This is by far the most habitable planet we've found. And it's interesting and it's beautiful and it's varied and the landscapes change and the cultures change. And there are different phases of me that have existed throughout life, as with anybody. And there were times where I was like existential. I mean, as a teenager, I wasn't sure I wanted to be alive. And then for a time, I wanted to be an astronaut very seriously. And in the end, I realized it's because I wanted to float away, which isn't a great reason.
Oh, reflection.
So, it's amazing. So to arrive at a place where I feel absolutely clear that not only is our planet special, but so are we, each of us, in this one lifetime that we are certain we get a shot at. The takeaway is it's great you're here. It's great we're here. Like, you get to be here in this time, in this place. There's no other you. Everything that came before you led to this exact moment and this lifetime. And what a gift that we get to exist in this time and place together. And we get a chance to play, to walk out the front door, to connect, to experience it. Not everything is easy. Not everything is beautiful all the time. But we get to be here in this time and place and do this, as far as we know, this one time. Mm-hmm. That is rich. Mm-hmm.
Very much so, in the unique way that we each get to show up while we're here. Yeah.
Power.
This is, well, I love it. Okay. I actually kind of think I'm going to leave it with that. I love that. It's, it does feel powerful and it's super inspirational. And I just so appreciate you coming and sharing. I love this part of your story because it's not, you know, what you always get to, you know, be sharing. If you're diving with sharks, like that's the content, you know. I love the Rachel content. So I really appreciate that we got to dig a little bit. And thanks for playing the game with me. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks for the chance to play.
Of course. Where can people find you should they want to join you on your journeys?
People can find me at Rachel Roams, RachelRoams, like travels. Rachel Roams. Say hi.
Anywhere and everywhere. Excellent. Well, thank you again. And where are you headed next? Where are we wishing you bon voyage to?
The next immediate trip is back to New York. Actually, I just returned from New York a couple days ago. I'm going back next week for the Explorers Club annual dinner. It will be a room filled with wild, wild stories.
And people, my goodness. What an honor to be in such a club. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. There's a guy who always manages to look like Teddy Roosevelt. It's the weirdest thing. I look forward to that.
Okay. Amazing. Well, thank you again, Rachel. And best of luck and safe travels going forward.
Thanks. And to you.